So, in the spirit of feeling better, have any of you guys, by any bizarre chance, seen a little movie called Suicide Club?
Have not.
That sounds familiar, but I don't believe so.
I watched it just before the show tonight because I started doing the Asian horror podcast again.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's always fun. Like I love doing that show because the movies are so unusual. And in this case, Suicide Club is by a director named Sion Sono, who has done some of the most outrageous shit I've ever seen put to film. And Suicide Club is the most mainstream of his movies, and even that is pretty extreme at times. But the movie opens with 54, as it turns out, Japanese schoolgirls at a subway platform, and they all join hands. And right before the subway pulls into the station, they jump. And what follows is some of the craziest blood sprays I've ever seen in a movie, because the movie kind of plays it for laughs, but it's also about the, you know, rampant suicide of school children. and it made me feel better, quite frankly. And I can't recommend that movie enough.
I watched Virtuosity today before the podcast.
Is that the one that's Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe? Denzel,
yes, correct.
Oh my God, no. I know that I've seen that, but I do not remember anything about it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I saw it probably not long after it hit home video.
Did that come out right around like the same time as like Strange Days with Ralph Fiennes?
It was later than that.
Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, because like Strange Days was pre Millennium.
Yeah,
and I feel like Virtuosity was more mid 90s. Yeah. So what was your takeaway, Justin? Because
yeah,
I kind of feel
was
like
horrible. No, you don't even want
to. Don't want to go back to that. No.
But yeah, Russell Crowe is like this AI serial killer.
But he's like serial killers, right? Like
right, he's 150 different serial killers.
Okay.
Put into an AI that has somehow escaped the computer into like an android's body. And they've pulled Denzel Washington out of prison to go hunt him down and stop him.
So it's like
the twist. The twist of the movie is like towards the end, instead of like trying to fight him directly, they just like get into the virtual reality thing and like they're inside of an android that looks just like them. So they're tricking Russell Crowe to like come back to the lab, you know, like chasing them back there. So they're not actually getting hurt or anything, but all this crazy stuff's happening to them. And then they just, like, trap him inside of, like, a computer. You know, it's like the typical, like, we're just going to trap this thing. And that's the end.
Man, it's really bad.
It's horrible.
It sounds like the shittier version of Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Which is a great movie.
I'm wondering, I mean, Nicolas Cage must have been busy, so they had to go with Russell Crowe. Because that sounds like a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah. I'm every serial killer.
Yeah, for real.
I watched Neverending Story today.
That's a great one.
That's a fun, great movie. Daniel had never seen it, my son. First time. He had half a day off from school today. So,
So you got him high, watched the whole Neverending Story.
Yeah, sit down.
Good, good.
Smoked a big fat blunt, put on Neverending Story.
Well, that's
chill
important.
Out, man.
Yeah.
The kids, they love those blunts, you know.
Oh.
They do.
Man, do they. Can't get enough.
Can't get enough blunts. This is the Shotcast t-shirt of the week.
Official.
Can't get enough blunts.
Yeah. Official motto of high schoolers of the week for the Shotcast is clearly going to be. We can't get enough blunts.
It's a catchphrase now. We've said it enough times. I think it officially qualifies.
Welcome to the Shotcast, everyone. That feels like a natural beginning.
Total. That's good. Fix it in editing.
Please.
We'll do it live.
I think we all know better than that. So this is the week following the election. It has been a tumultuous time here in the good old U.S. of A. All that being said, there is one thing that unites us all and makes us happy, provides us with joy. That, of course, is blunts. No. Video games.
It's blowjobs.
Blowjobs as well. Blowjobs, blunts, and video games is, I think, a Kid Rock album. I can't swear to that, I think.
Title track, for sure. Yeah.
The summer song everybody was waiting for.
I'll tell you what, if no such song exists, then again, the Wu-Tang put out a lot of records, too.
It's probably on one of them.
Yeah, that's probably there somewhere. Video games. That's what we're talking about. And video game stuff has been, coming out at a rapid clip here. We are in the midst of that fall season, the lead up to Black Friday, and following that, of course, Christmas. Digression, because, you know, we never do that on the show, but I saw,
we don't want to get to the games too fast,
right? You want a little, a little sit down. This is, you're easing into the chair in this part of the show, you know.
That's right.
It's That's relax, right. Sit back, kick up your feet, listen to,
we're some, putting the cardigan on,
maybe a Meerschaum, with your favorite blend. And
that's half tobacco, half weed. That's your favorite blend, blunts.
And then don't mention it.
Well, you know, he's more big city than us, and
I don't really like sweaters.
Highfalutin.
I just like blunts. I don't like sweaters.
All right, fair. Yeah, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive in most cases. Is all I'm getting at.
It's not a fan.
What the hell was my point? Oh yeah, so I'm in the I'm in the store the other day, and by the other day I mean like a week and a half ago, which was pre Halloween. I'm there picking up some candy for the kids who didn't show up.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, I was real excited too.
In this house.
Yeah, I was jazzed. I was looking for trick or treaters.
Me too.
You guys got to come up here, man. Should come here for next Halloween. I had hundreds.
Oh, that sounds
literally
great.
Hundreds of kids. Maybe it was like the scene from E.T. where they're all, the street is just packed.
Oh, that's great.
That's what it looks like in my neighborhood. It's fucking amazing.
That's great. But so I'm picking up some delicious Halloween candy, which I disposed of later, not completely in my gullet either. But next to the Halloween candy and, you know, the shitty, like, Kroger's Halloween costumes that shitty parents get the day of, son of a bitch Christmas decorations. This is even before Thanksgiving at this point, which I already don't like. You're getting into my time, into Halloween time, and you can knock that shit off right now.
Yeah.
I see that in a store. I'm not going back.
I'm with
too
you.
Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it just drives me crazy. Like, Thanksgiving and Christmas go together, like, you know, teenagers and blunts. But, right. You know, because they seem like bookending holidays. It's like, here's the warm-up to dealing with your family, and now here's the real shit.
Yep.
Halloween. Yeah, right. This is, it's real.
It's the test run. It's the, well, how's this going to go?
Yeah.
Right, you're testing the waters. You're seeing.
Should we cancel Christmas? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, yeah, let's see who Uncle Pete voted for, because he ain't going to shut up about it. Let's see what he's got to bring to the table. We can stomach this with turkey, because all of us are going to be out in about 3 hours. it was disheartening to say the least, because Halloween is also my favorite holiday, And Christmas, I always see as more of an obligation than a real holiday. So it really bummed me out, is all. Sorry, I didn't mean to start the show with sadness. But here we go.
it's been a rough week, man. It's all right.
Yeah. There's just too many harsh realities, new realities, things that didn't used to be hitting me all at once, and it's hard to take. But thank Christ, yep.
The cheap Kroger costumes to put you over the top, though.
Yeah, I mean, it bothers.
Because that's just sad.
It's basically a trash bag. You know, it's like that little plastic face mask and then basically like a trash bag that's been printed.
Yep.
Like whatever this character is.
You're a stormtrooper. Wear this white bag and put on this plastic mask with a rubber band on it.
Yeah, it's like...
it's good enough.
Yeah.
I think this is probably a Dana Gould joke, so I apologize for ripping it off. But like the shittiest ones are like those Hulk costumes that have the Hulk plastic mask and then the shirt... or the top of the costume, is just a picture of the Hulk. Like, the Hulk goes around with his picture on his shirt all the damn time. And, yeah, they're the worst. And those rubber bands.
Like it's not a picture of his chest. It's a picture of
him. Hulk. The Hulk's face right there on my torso. And that's not
so
where
people
belongs.
Can look at you and go, oh, the Hulk.
He must be the Hulk.
Oh.
Yeah, and yeah. That's what it's for.
I guess.
Ugh. Yeah, those are terrible. Just to go through a list, tonight's shotcast is just going to be a list of grievances.
You're starting Festivus way too early, man. I'm offended.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's a Trump year.
Airing of the grievances is my favorite part.
Yes, of course. Good shit. But, I mean, that's really what Thanksgiving is, as we've mentioned. Yeah. So, but yeah, so a bunch of video games are coming out, and not to spoil the later portion of the show, I have not played a ton of them. Although I've been playing some stuff to completion, I feel good about that. So,
yeah.
Nice. But first,
went back for more Dragon Age.
Yeah, of course. I wrapped up all that DLC. I figured, you know, is life worth living? Probably not. I wonder if I can die
from playing this game.
Yeah, let's see if I can turn my brain to utter mush so I just don't notice. Man, I swear to God, if Mass Effect is like Dragon Age, it's gonna be.
No.
There are tragedies and there are tragedies, and that would be a one of the latter. But yeah, you know, I just realized I skipped over my favorite part of the show. Which is when I kick it over to you guys. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We were talking about, I'm waiting to get this desk. I'm actually really excited about changing up my work area and getting that kind of sort of more acclimated to VR and to having like, I've got these, you know, those new pedals I was talking about, those crosswind pedals. So I'm going to kind of get it more acclimated to having that stuff out and around. Right now, I kind of keep it all in the closet unless I'm going to play a game, but I'm trying to get into Star Citizen more, and I want to just have that stuff ready to go, kind of at hand.
All right, now I'm with you.
No.
So, John Dolan is also with us this evening.
Yep.
And how about you, sir? How are you doing?
Doing all right. Nothing major to report, just life. That's about it.
Yep, seems to always be happening.
I played some games, you know, I'll talk about that in a bit, but nothing really going on. I don't know. I was taking a class towards the ever-elusive degree I've been pursuing for some time, and that finished up. So I took a couple of days to do nothing in the time that I was using for homework, which was fucking awesome.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. So it was one of those kind of weeks. It was just like, no, I'm going to kick back. So,
speaking of playing video games, Justin McFerrin.
Yes, sir.
What you've been playing?
Well, we got into the Division the other night. They did that patch, really updated the game. I think they made it a lot better.
It's way better.
Way better, like a lot more balanced. The enemies are a lot more challenging. The loot system seems to be a lot better. We're finding a lot better stuff more often, from any type of enemy, which I really liked. Because you can kind of get in there and maybe you don't want to play a mission, but you just want to kind of run around and do the little side missions, you still have a pretty good chance of, you know, finding some cool stuff. And I hadn't played the DLC, and we kind of started that, and that was actually pretty cool. I felt like, you know, we kind of went back and played that 4 or 5 times, and it never got old to me. And it's this sort of like randomly generated mission dungeon system, and there's always sort of a different objective to some degree. You have to go find a clear out a location and then probably defend it, you know, from some waves of enemies and do a couple other things. And there's always a boss of some kind of, you know, boss of some kind. And then you get some higher grade weapon at the end as a result of, you know, beating the mission, which, that's a lot of fun. You know, we had a fun, it was, fun to find that, that loot and then, be able to repeat that stuff and get even higher grade stuff as you leveled up. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They just kind of Diabloized it basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't feel like you're grinding to get things at all.
Like, there's always something new that's, you know, a good choice. You have enough upgrade slots in that game. That's one of the things I like about it, where you may be waiting for a particular piece of gear for a long time, but in the meantime, you're picking up other stuff that's slightly better than the one you've got. So there's always, like, some decisions to be made about each piece of gear kind of affects your damage per second, your health, and your... Like, you have a special power, the level of that. And each piece of gear affects those three things in different ways. So you're constantly kind of sifting through it going, all right, well, the trade-off here is, yes, it ups my health and my special power, but it brings my damage per second down. So you can make a lot of decisions based on what weapons you're carrying, what upgrades you're wearing, as to not only how to balance your character, but if you want to totally tune towards one of those things, like you want your guy to just be a fucking beast brawler, you can just totally tune up your damage per second and then neglect the other two. So I think that's really cool. And it's possible to do that now. Like, that system's been in there for a while, but you never got enough loot to make it worthwhile to even spend time in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're playing with friends who are all specifically aiming towards their separate, you know, strong suits, where someone really wants to be a healer, or someone wants to be a defensive, or someone wants to be offensive, that's when it's a lot of fun. Because we found that it was fun for one of us to pin down an enemy and suppress them while the other people moved up. You know, someone would leave health behind, and then, you know, that just made it progressing through those different areas a lot easier. And it's kind of like being able to use those tactics is a lot of fun, and it leans itself towards that type of gameplay.
Yeah, and they kick out those crates as well, too. So there's like a separate experience bar now, Bo, where you played it with us. I don't know if you saw that part.
Yeah. I was there.
But that part where – did you get any of the crates? I don't remember if
we
out.
We got crates.
Okay, we did figure that out. That's when we figured out. Yeah, so that's cool because you get there was like the field proficiency one, and then there's one like based on your experience points or something. There was two separate types of crates you could get, and those some of those had like I opened one that had 3 yellow items in it, like the top tier, whatever it's called, high tech. So it's just they found another way to throw loot at you in that game. It's better.
I did, you know, not the I since we all played The Division, might as well talk about it now, but I did have a great time playing with you guys. I still don't have a ton of interest in going back and playing it solo, which is and here's kind of the bummer of it, because you guys are so much ahead of me that I was leveling up real fast, which was cool, but it didn't scale the enemies appropriately enough. I don't think
it wasn't quite right,
and no. Because
I would get hit once and I would get taken down. I was only like level 16 or 17, so I kind of just hung back, so it was a little bit more like maybe it pushes you towards more being like a healer, or choosing a more passive role and trying to work on that. That's what I ended up doing. And then hopefully, you know, at some point I'll be able to find some crazy weapons and then get leveled up and use those or something.
So the way that you get past the "this game isn't fun to play by myself" is the matchmaking in that game works great. All the people that are playing in it are good at that game. Okay. They're all really good at it. I match made into like four by myself into three other guys for a four-man team and just ran some of the daily missions, which are like the story missions that you'd previously done. And that is a good way to get a bunch of loot and to get a bunch of experience and to have what I think is the full experience of that game, which is what Justin was describing, is that tactical, I've got a fucking LMG, so I'm going to fire 160 rounds at this guy so that he doesn't stick his head up and you guys just run up on the sides of him and, you know, blow him away point blank range. You just can't get that part of that experience when you're playing by yourself.
Right.
And the matchmaking on that game, nobody talks. It's fucking silent. I have not heard a single person talk in that game since I started replaying it after this latest update. Everybody just mutes their voice over IP in the game. But everybody that is playing it knows what they're doing. I didn't run across a single person that was like fucking around, screwing up the program at all. You know, they were just, they were there to fucking rock and roll.
Here to do a job, man.
Yep. Yeah, that's nice. They wanted to do what I wanted to do, which was shoot fuckers in the face.
All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I did, like I said, totally enjoyed my time with it, thought it was fun. And I will admit, though, the next day I played about an hour and a half of Diablo, though. Where I was just like, man, that's a lot like Diablo. I should play some Diablo.
Blue, I know. Yeah. I keep going. It's still installed. I got it installed. Pop it open every once in a while.
Are the patches in the news? Are we talking about that later? I didn't see that.
I don't think I had it. Yeah, there was something about that. We can just talk about it if we remember what the hell it is.
They're adding a new class tier, but they're saying they're adding some story stuff as well.
Really? Yeah. I know there was like a necromancer or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing that blew my mind about it, I almost don't care what they put in, but it sounds like a really substantial patch.
But that's not like DLC or something. That's just like here's some more content.
I think it's a patch. I was hoping you had read that and just were like, no. We don't want to get off on a Diablo tangent again. So, by the way,
hours
fuck
of
you,
the show. Hours.
Yeah.
So, I've been dedicated to that game.
But I continue to be amazed with the way that game has been supported. You know, it just without peer, that game has been supported. So
the only thing that's close is Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah. The GTA Online stuff for sure. Sure.
They put Tron motorcycles in it. That's their new update that they're putting out.
All right.
I saw that. It's pretty crazy.
We're going to need to do that, I think. Okay, but enough about the Division. The patch is real cool. You guys are right.
Yeah, they turned it into a good game.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, it took a while.
Destiny, man. This game is Destiny to a T.
Yep, that game came out in March, and they're just now getting it working here. So, same thing as Star Wars Battlefront. I think we talked about it like an episode or two ago where it took them a year, but now it's a game. So,
yeah.
Seems to be the way to do it nowadays. So,
anything else out of you, Justin?
I've played a little bit more Battlefield 1. I don't know if I think I talked about that last time in enough detail, I think.
Had we talked, I don't think we had played it together before the last show because you had gotten the early access, right?
Yeah, I played that. And, the full game's out, and it's a lot of fun. We definitely need to play it some more.
Yeah. So that's what's funny is, like, I bought that game, and I bought Civilization VI, and then I played, like, 17 hours of The Division.
Yeah. So it's pretty,
yeah, it's weird. Like, I've got them brand new games, and then all of a sudden The Division patch sucked me back in, and I haven't played those two new games that I just bought. So I played maybe like 15 matches of Battlefield 1. So
it's, I mean, nothing against Battlefield 1. It's just
no, it's great. It's fucking great. But yeah, The Division just hooked me, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you can just rebalance a game and make it right, you know, like just like we just said.
Yep.
I almost had that moment where I bought Titanfall 2 because I'd heard enough good things that I was
so
like,
close too, man. I almost did it.
Yeah. And then I realized, man, I did have Battlefront sitting around in a wrapper, and I talked myself down. I got myself off the ledge on that one, which doesn't happen often. Usually I just go nuts. But I haven't bought anything new in like a week and a half, which is kind of a stretch for me.
Yeah,
that's the same with me. I know that I will buy Titanfall 2 eventually. I know I will play that game.
Yep.
It's just I've got too much stuff and not enough time right now to end up back with such a huge backlog of like brand new crazy awesome games.
Yep.
It's a good time to be alive.
It is. I like it. There are wonderful games to play.
Yeah.
Have you been playing any more wonderful games, Justin? And it better be good.
Press that. Nope. That is really the only two I've really been messing with. Still looking forward to some more Star Citizen stuff, but they're doing.
When is that 2.6 comes out for that soon ish? Is that what I heard?
We hope. They are doing regular video updates with lots of new information about, you know, the timeline of that build.
Their marketing is very active. I appreciate that.
Yes. I definitely appreciate it too. And so I think it's going to be sooner than later. We'll see. It's going to be awesome when it comes out, and we're all, you know, I think we'll all get sucked into that just as much as the Division.
Wade expressed some interest in that as well. We might have to. Do we still have a fourth key? I don't remember.
I think we do. I'll have to double check. But yeah, I believe I do have that other key.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
they did a video today where they talked about how they're implementing like an atmosphere system so that you could now accurately blow like a window out of a
ship. No way, dude.
Yeah. And make the, you know, the atmosphere escape the ship and, you know, they're not in a.
I want that so much.
Popping pods, right? Man.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
They're just getting. It's just going to be great.
Literally my favorite thing in EVE Online is the concept of podding someone, where they are defenseless in space and you breach the hull on the you know, emergency vehicle that they're in to get away from their dead ship, and you blow them up and you vacuum them into space. Pod. It's great.
I think we're going to be real jerks in that game. Like, once the multiplayer is really off the ground and you're interacting with people more.
Oh, that looks like something I want.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be real assholes. But
let's go get
that.
I think
that's not gonna pay off, but we'll see.
No, but it'll be fun as fuck.
Yeah, I'm not saying. But it's the end of your GTA session, right? I'm not saying every time.
Oh yeah,
but or all the time. But like, yeah, you do a couple of missions, and then, you know, hey, I got about 30-45 minutes before I log off.
Yep. Let's everybody switch over to your pirate ships.
Right. Let's get into some shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. That I've been reading
the promise of that game is so promising.
Yeah,
I can't.
It really is. And the experiences we've had already with it are impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, All right. Another game we could get off on a tangent on.
Exactly. But that's it. That's really it for me.
All right, Johnny Dolan.
Yes, sir.
What you've been playing, especially with them 2 days off, sir?
Yeah. A lot of Division.
All right.
That's where the 17 hours came from.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've racked up quite a bit. I played a little Doom as well, but I played the new Doom Arcade edition that they made to it, where you just, it's just a new mode, and you just play the regular campaign, except all of the story stuff has been removed, and it's just basically a speed run through the levels as fast as you can, killing all the enemies that would normally come up in the regular campaign. But by killing them close together, you are maintaining a multiplier chain for your score. When you shoot guys, like a big arcadey yellow score pops up on the screen for killing that guy. And then you've got a big multiplier thing in the middle of the screen that's constantly going up. And it's slow. Like if you're at a x3 multiplier, score multiplier, it's slowly, as like a clock graphic, kind of ticking down until you get your next kill. And if it ticks all the way down and you lose one level of multiplier, like you don't find an enemy to kill in that time, you lose the entire multiplier. So it's kind of
this isn't going to end well for anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fun because it's rampage mode all the time. Just like and it's when you die, you start that section over with a zero score. So I played, let's see, I played the UAC chapter, which is the very first mission in Doom, where you're on the surface of Mars running around. And I forget what my score was, but my rank in the world was 18,769th. 18,769th place at the UAC. In the world, mind you. Billions of people on this planet. It's not bad. Anyway, so what's cool about it is if we're on each other's friends list in that game, you guys can go in there and you can compete for a friend's leaderboard as well and see who can get the highest score on that. And it reminded me of like Geometry Wars, where everybody was really into the leaderboard on that for a long time. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
It had that vibe to it. I played some of that Steep beta this afternoon.
How is that?
It's, I don't know yet. I'm having trouble making an assessment on it. What I don't like about it is the speed of it, unless I'm just not using the controls correctly. I don't get a SSX or like a Cool Borders sense of speed as you're going down the mountain. The snow deforms really cool. It looks really nice. The lighting's all really cool. I think jumping is hard in it to do tricks. I don't think the tricks are particularly interesting. It may just be because it's this pre thing, but basically you can just kind of twist in different directions. I didn't find any like modifier. You can do a grab while you're in the air. I couldn't get the hang. I only played it for like 2 hours, but I couldn't get the hang of timing the jump. You like hold down the right trigger and your guy kind of crouches down. And then when you get to the lip of a jump, you'd let go of the trigger and he'll jump. And then you have to push the thumbsticks like left or right or up or down to get your guy to twist. And then you have to, if you hold the right trigger again, he'll grab. But then you have to, you know, obviously land it facing the right direction. But there's not a lot of shit to jump off of. It's very simulation. It's more simulation, I guess.
Like it's not finished.
Kind of. Yeah, that's kind of a vibe I got off it. But there is a lot there. Like there was, you can just hit a button and back out and look at like this giant mountain area. And it's like it's a free roam anywhere you want to go in this thing. But they do kind of lock it down behind some experience level type stuff. But you can open up the map, find a peak on the map that's unlocked, and you can warp to it immediately. You can do that at any time. So if you just want to go, you don't have to fuck around getting to the top of the mountain. You just back up into map mode, click on the spot, and it zooms you in like 2 seconds.
That's nice.
Which is great. There's no fucking around in this game. Like reload times are super fast. It was running at a really high rate. Frames per second was good. So that stuff's all working. But the controls were a little sluggish for me, I guess. I don't know. I guess I didn't know what kind of game this was going in. Like I didn't know if it was going to be like an SSX game where it was like all trick based and kind of over the top a little bit. But it's definitely not that. But I don't dislike it because of that. What's going to be interesting is when we all can get into that in like a multiplayer, like if you guys can get on and test it this weekend, that kind of shit would be fun because there is these wingsuit races. You go up to a peak and you put on your wingsuit and you just hold down like your right bumper on controller or you hold down a key or whatever. And from a menu, you select, what am I doing? Am I walking? Am I using my snowboard? Am I doing a wingsuit? You also have a paraglider. And so you just put on your wingsuit and you walk out to the edge of this peak and you jump. And then a race appears in front of you and it's little rings that you got to fly to. But you also get points for getting really close to shit like trees and mountains and stuff while you're in your wingsuit. So there's like that. What's that fucking racing game that
Burnout
does that? Burnout. It's got that whole thing going on. So it's interesting. It's got a lot of cool stuff going on, but I don't, for like the actual snowboarding part of the game, I don't get a sense of speed because you're on these super steep, just crazy peaks. Like it's a really neat looking map. And you should feel like you're going about 1,000,000 miles an hour down there, like out of control fast. And it just doesn't, it's not that hard to not run into shit in that game. I feel like it could be a little more off the rails as far as speed goes.
Now, were you just on the snowboard in this, or what? I see that it has different types of like there's snowboarding, there's skis, and there's like a wingsuit. Did you try different ones, or was it limited to one thing?
I did the wingsuit, I did the snowboard, I did the paraglider. I did not do skis.
Okay. And they all, the controls across the board were rather sluggish.
It was mostly just the snowboarding that I thought, like the paragliding, right. I thought that could be faster too, actually. The wingsuit. I did not get a like crazy sense of speed, like terminal velocity, you know, where I'm going as fast as I possibly can fall right now, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I did not get that feeling from it.
Tend to enjoy those games more as they become more arcadey.
Yeah. You know,
that sounds a little SSX semi-
Tricky is fucking right. Great game.
Yeah.
Great game.
Now, but is it feasible in this game that since it's sort of open world that I could be playing as a paraglider, you're playing as a snowboarder.
Yes.
Someone else is playing as something else, and we're all just sort of like palling around together.
Yes.
And doing stuff.
And that is, I did that today, just like with random dudes that happened to be on the same server. And there was a point where we were all in the exact same spot racing. It doesn't like make you wait for a, you know, 3-2-1 countdown and everyone goes. You just go, and it's basing you, off on each other your time, your finish time. You go through the gate at the bottom, and it keeps track of those times. And so as you're walking in around the world, it will say, Justin just beat the gold medal score on this event. And that what that's telling you is that he just beat your high score that you had. So now you can open your map up, and you can go back there, and you could try to win that again. Or you can all sync up and run the race at the same time. You could do like your own countdown over your microphone and go, all right, on the count of 3, 2, 1, everybody jump. But there's no like... you're starting at behind a gate, and they release the wands, and you ski through the gate or anything like that. There was nothing like that that I saw. There are just like random, I'm going to ski down this bowl parts of the mountain. There are like trick parks, like snowboarding parks, where there's lots of jumps and rails and stuff that you can mess around on. But it didn't have like that tricky vibe to it at all. So it's cool. I just wish it felt a little faster, I think. So
yeah,
it could just be that I really suck at the trick system. That's entirely possible because I was not getting very many jumps right and stuff. So
let me ask you this: how many flash pots are going off when you cross a finish line?
Zero.
That's real disappointing.
Yeah, well, some of the graphics that pop up on screen are pretty good. Like when you can rank up, you have like an experience point system. I don't know what any of that shit is for yet. But like a giant deer head with huge antlers popped up, and it says like, you know, big spinning gold 3 in front of it, because I ranked up to level 3. It had a very what's the fucking beer that used to use the elk in the ad? Lowenbrow. Like a Lowenbrow beer ad feel to it.
All right.
Yeah, so
I'm okay wasn't with too that. Bad.
There's some of that to it. It's like the dude is like, all right, man, we're gonna go up to the mountain, and this is where you're gonna kick some ass, and it's like got that vibe to it, you know.
That kind of Ubisoft, this is yep, a totally, little too cloying.
Totally. Yeah, that's exactly what it is it's Ubisoft.
All right. Yeah, that all makes sense.
So I'm curious if there's going to be more to it. It's neat because you can pick any event at any time, but not all the events on the mountain are unlocked. And one of the things is you have a pair of binoculars. And so you can go to one point, and there will be like a new unlock, but you have to like sight it with your binoculars first. It's really weird. I don't know. There's some strange
That's
shit.
That's an Ubisoft game.
Yeah.
An open world Ubisoft game.
Yep.
Climb this thing.
Climb this tower to unlock it.
Search this area.
Yeah. So there's some weird shit in there, but we should do that. See if we can all get in a room and do some races or something. The wingsuit's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. It's just not fast enough. So.
This is a reference no one will get, but is there like Claudia Longer DLC?
You're right. I don't get it.
she shot a skier.
Oh.
Yeah. It's an old like 1976 SNL joke. So I apologize. John. What else, John? Get me out of this.
I played a little bit of Civ 6, basically just the tutorial, and realized that it was going to take a lot more dedication than just that to get into that game, so I turned it off and played The Division. But before I played more Division, I also played some of the latest, the final Hitman Hokkaido map. It is a mountain. It's a private hospital that is like dug into the side of like a jaggedy mountain peak up over like a big fjord. And there's it's got this great vista. You wake up in a patient room. You infiltrate as a patient. It's the first level where you are not allowed to bring any weapons when you start the game. When you go into like the loadout screen, they're literally just crossed out and it says, you know, hospital policy says that you may not have any sharp objects, blah, blah, blah. So you just literally start the game in your patient room wearing a robe and you have to go out into this facility. And it's like this super high tech facility. You have a patio, you can walk out on it and you can see just like miles and miles down into this huge canyon, giant snowy covered mountains. And there's like a little city down below it. And there's like fireworks going off down there and shit. But then the hospital itself is, it seems really small at first, but it's, there's a lot going on. Like there's components of it that kind of go up into the mountain a little bit. Some labs and, it's really fun, man. It's not exactly what I was hoping for as far as, I think I said on last episode that I really wanted something that was like in a big city with tons of people. But I think this is actually better. It's got some really cool shit. The premise is there's a medical robot that is controlled by an AI that runs the entire facility. And the security system at the facility is people's uniforms are basically their pass key to get through doors. So if you're dressed as like a waitstaff person, as the hitman, if you know, knock them out and steal their clothes, you can now automatically pass through certain doors that have this little security scanner next to them, because the security pass to get past the door is apparently concealed within the clothing, and that is how the security operates in there. So
convenient.
Yes, and it's kind of cool as well, because that sounds like a pretty good security system. Like, hey, that uniform is not supposed to be in here. Everybody knows. It's like a visual cue for the people as well. So I thought that was
who's
kind of
in
a
that
system.
Thing?
Yeah. So you can get out and you can knock some dudes out. And it's fucking Hitman. It's still the same exact game, but it's just a new environment that's really well done level. This game has just a series of really, really fun maps is kind of what has made this game so great. I highly recommend it. They've also basically confirmed, I don't think I had a story in here or if we talked about it last week, but they confirmed
they did
that they are doing a second season of this game. So, yes. And that basically what that entails is they'll probably just release, you know, 5 or 6 more maps and charge for it. And I'm fucking hooked. I love the way that they've done this entire thing where they just the way that it's delivered one map at a time has made me play way more of this game than I probably would have. So gives it to you in nice bite-sized chunks. And that's it.
All right. Yeah.
Steep, Dumarkin. Yeah.
I got. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking Steep out, especially for free. That's certainly the right price.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's going to have that Division effect where it kind of lands with a flop. Because am I remembering that wrong? Wasn't the Division demo kind of ill received?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it was the Ubisoft overpromise underdeliver syndrome.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, but yeah, I enjoyed my time with the Division. I had one of those rare moments in my life lately where I finished a game. Saw it through all the way to the damn end, and that was Tokyo Mirage Sessions, FE.
I'm impressed.
Don't be so impressed just yet, because I only finished the main story.
Oh, no.
And there are some extras I can pick up, and I think I might.
Cue the Dragon Age music.
No, except I'm willingly doing this. Like, Dragon Age, at a certain point, felt like my job. You know, it was like, I gotta, I have come this damn far. I gotta see where this ends. And I was, by the end of it, I was in a sprint. I was like, how do I get to the end as fast as possible? And that was still like 10 hours. Tokyo Mirage Sessions, I've been, you know, just working a lot, and there's been a lot of other stressors and things like that. And as I've said on this show before, Tokyo Mirage Sessions is kind of my happy place when I'm playing video games lately. And yeah, so I realized I was pretty close to finishing that game, and I got more devoted to it, and wrapped it up, and it was an absolute delight. I loved it. To say that game goes places is to kind of undersell the idea that it kind of starts going places, you know?
Remind me on the general premise of this game again.
All right, so the general premise of Tokyo Mirage Sessions is that there are musica that are forma that are stealing creativity and the spark of life from people. And you are a team of characters, some of whom are singers, Japanese pop idols, some of whom are not, are managers and stuff like that. But that's sort of the trappings of the Atlas-style RPG engine, which are the battle engine for that, which is your series of characters have powers that build off each other. And if I perform a certain attack and it's a critical hit on an enemy, that's going to trigger multiple attacks for my characters. So there's a lot of strategy about, like, okay, what powers am I using to attack so I do the most damage? And, you know, in typical Atlas fashion and RPG fashion in most cases, the first time you run into enemies, you don't know if they're weak against, say, fire or lightning or spear or sword or whatever. And by attacking them, you start to fill in those blanks. So when you recognize enemies and beat kind of boss versions of them, then you get performa, which you can use to infuse your weapons and get new skills and powers and stuff like that. So that's Tokyo Mirage Sessions. And there's also, this very Japanese-style, not really romance story going on, but there's just weird characters, and, you know, it's kind of Japanese high school life, and it's real odd, but there's also magic and monsters and what have you. But it's unrelentingly an optimistic game, and that's kind of what I needed, and that's what I loved about it. And about every, I don't know, 2 hours of play, 2.5 hours, all of a sudden somebody drops some anime pop song in, and those are always crazy pants as well. And some of them are real catchy. So yeah, I love that game. I'm going to keep playing it because there's a little bit more of it to play. And I think I read somewhere, I've got about 50-ish hours, 50, 55, somewhere in that neighborhood. Over 50, under 55. But I hear that there's an additional 30-ish hours if you go looking for it. So.
Oh.
Is that also your dating block? Over 50, under 55.
Yeah. I mean, you know, under 55. Let's. I'm not an ageist.
Yeah. Why would you be?
You know, as Louis C.K. once said, fuck a 60-year-old. Why not?
Do it.
Why not?
Do it.
And he said, if you're going to do it twice. So she doesn't think you just did it once for the experience. You do it the second time to show you thought it was fine.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Right. But yeah, that's how I feel about Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I'm like, you know what? Let's do this twice. I'm okay. And as a result, I actually started playing Persona 4 Golden.
All right.
And which is a darker story and all that stuff, but it's in a similar style, and it's another game that's going to take me, you know, months to complete. But I enjoy those games, man. I like, as I've said on this show before, it was a revelation I never would have expected about myself. I love those Atlas games. And I've discovered, by the way, not just Japanese games. It's the Atlas style of game that I really love. I've tried a couple of other, you know, kind of JRPG sort of things, and it's fine. But Atlas has some kind of, you know, secret sauce that I really like. I like the combat system, and I like just how gleefully weird it is.
What other titles do they have that are similar?
All the Shin Megami Tensei stuff,
okay,
is them. All the Persona stuff is them. Tokyo Mirage Sessions. There's some weird game like Secret of the Librarian, and that one is kind of an import game because it's a little sexist, and by little I mean a lot. So I haven't played it. I've seen some screenshots and it's like, no thanks. Yeah. Most of their games feel like Disney movies almost. They tend to be very innocent. But apparently there are versions of their games, or not versions, but other titles and other series even that are maybe a little more, sexy.
Do they like follow? Do they follow similar like timelines or something, or does it bounce around just like from within this one company? Do they have like a Ghost in the Shell and a Cowboy Bebop and a bunch of different kind of stuff? Okay,
yeah, like even the Persona games aren't, to the best of my knowledge, I'm no expert, even though I've been playing a bunch of that stuff. I haven't played all the Persona games, certainly, and
I've never played any of that stuff.
My impression, though, is that much like kind of Final Fantasy, that every Persona game is kind of its own game.
Hmm.
And it's a different cast of characters each time. And,
yeah,
but it's the same kind of visual style and the same kind of attitude and that kind of thing. And, I find them to be incredibly charming, the ones that aren't like, here's a busty fox girl, that kind of stuff. I guess that has its place, but it's not what I go to those games for. I kind of like the, like with Tokyo Mirage Sessions, one of the things I love most about it is the game is kind of about the spirit of creativity. And then, it just appeals to me on a personal level, a game kind of celebrating that idea. And it's real, real charming, upbeat, and all that stuff. So played that to completion, kind of. And then I played some Battlefront.
What'd you think?
I it's fine.
You're right.
I played some of the like training missions and just a hint of multiplayer. I think it's incredibly well realized in terms of putting you in a Star Wars environment and the fidelity of it and everything. It's impressive. It's a good looking game.
You got that on PS4?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's where I'm playing it. It looks fucking great on that console.
It absolutely does. And I thought the gameplay itself was okay. All that card stuff, man, it's just such a bummer.
Dumb. It's such a waste. Why? Yeah,
it gets in the way of having a good time.
It totally does.
And, that's really been my mantra of late when I'm playing a game of like, just let me do the thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Don't try to dole it out. Like,
just give me a tech reason. Tree. Yeah. Just give me a fucking tech tree. That's all I need.
Right. Right.
Yep.
And let's, for God's sakes, just have a hangar with a bunch of vehicles in it.
Yeah.
Why are you not doing that? Come on. Anyway.
Yep. Yeah. We've said it before.
Yeah. But it's,
there are just some stupid decisions in that game.
And that's what's frustrating, because there's a good game in there, but all the stuff that's layered on top of it, all the gimmicky kind of stuff, just gets in the way of playing Battlefront.
So have you tried the mode yet where it is just a dogfight over a map?
I haven't. I need to do that, because the flying I thought was actually really fun.
So there's some good shit in that, where it's just straight up Star Wars dogfight. It's really fun. The controls, it takes a while to get used to, but it ends up being a really good way to control those ships in like a third person. You can do first person, but it's, why would you not want to look at your TIE fighter while it's shooting down X-Wings? So, but there's also the walker assault mode, where if you can get in a TIE fighter or something during one of those, that's also a lot of fun, because then you can fucking like strafe people and like all the actions taking place on the ground. There's a few other planes flying around that you got to take care of, but mostly like if you're a rebel you're focused on when the shield drops on those AT-ATs. As a pilot of an aircraft, you just fucking strafe those AT-ATs, and it looks so goddamn epic because your laser blasts are bursting all over it and off the ground and everything. That's a really fun part of that game.
John, that sounds wonderful. If only there were perhaps some sort of, I don't know, a hangar area where I might find where a you TIE could get in the fucking
ship. Where one could acquire the vehicle.
Yeah. So the problem has been solved once you realize that those spawn tokens for that X-Wing are always in the exact same fucking spot. So
to just put the X-Wing there.
Yeah, I know. You gotta work for it.
Because that spot could also be a hangar.
Perhaps.
I know.
Some sort of enclosure where winged vehicles are kept.
Yep. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying it's possible to get what you want.
Right. Yeah.
So the way around that is you just fuck it. Like, you want to fly ships? Dogfight. It's fucking awesome. So that is my favorite part of that entire game is dogfighting.
So. Yeah. All right, I'll check that out. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. No, I will too.
And it's, like I said, an incredibly attractive game.
And regularly on sale for $20. So.
I got it for just a hair under that and felt fine about it.
And if you get into it and you're having like a fun long weekend playing with it and it's like, I'm into this now. I can look past the flaws that I don't like and I can enjoy it for what it is. It's worth it to buy some of the DLC, like the Death Star, whatever, the extra maps and shit, like Bespin and whatever. The Death Star Trench Run is a lot of fun. You know, that shit will get cheaper as well. When that stuff's like $5, totally worth it.
Yeah. So. And really, that's aside from just a very little bit more of Mafia 3, but that's a game I really want to get back into. It's just, like I said, I wanted something a little breezier lately. So, TMS, Sharp FE, as the kids call it. Nobody calls it that. Was kind of the recipe. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take our break here. And when we come back, the news. So before we jump into news, gentlemen, I forgot to mention something that I do want to bring up real quick because it answers a question Justin had asked here recently, which was I got to put one friend of mine into the PlayStation VR headset that had never experienced virtual reality before.
Yeah.
And great experience as the owner of virtual reality.
Yes.
This is a whole new... It's weird. It's like when you were that kid who had got the video game system on the block before anyone else or something, like just that kid always like showing people games and being able to watch people just like be amazed by things. It's such a fun to do as an owner of virtual reality.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to see, you know, somebody's face light up when it's like, oh my goodness, you know. But the guy in question doesn't really play video games.
Even better.
Right. Yep. So it was an interesting experiment. And we started off with the Batman VR because that's just all kinds of cool.
Yeah.
And went from that to Job Simulator. And this friend of ours, Steve, it was me and Steve and Power Listener Andy. Steve, all of us used to work in restaurants and bars and stuff when we were younger. And Steve jumped into the cooking simulation in Job Simulator.
Nice.
And, you know, when he realized, like, oh, I can move around in this space and start to, like, open the refrigerator and pull things out of the refrigerator and put them on the stove and stuff like that and actually move around to do that, I think it really blew his mind a bit. Yeah. And so that was fun to watch and proof positive that the PlayStation VR experience is a perfectly good entry into virtual reality. So that's
all we need.
Right.
We need it just to be good enough.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's better than good enough. But it's not quite great.
Yeah. Will be.
Yeah, at some point. But that's my virtual reality news. For other news, there's one man we like to turn to. And that man is Johnny Dolan.
No. I thought you were going to go Walter Cronkite.
No, 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 no. I would never sell you or, frankly, Walter Cronkite short
Cronkite,
like that.
Yeah, I know.
So.
You would be caught dead on this show.
Well, good news, Sean.
We can get him?
Well, ish.
Yeah. You got a shovel?
Oh, the number of times I've been caught in a cemetery with a shovel, John.
Yep, yep. The number of times I've walked out of the door with a shovel with the intention of digging up Walter Cronkite.
Are you even conscious of it anymore? Do you just, like, you're in the car and you're like, oh my God.
No, I'm conscious of it every time.
It is first degree grave robbing.
Yeah. We're doing it. We're doing it. Just no. Never happens. It's not that I don't want to. It's not that I'm a quitter, that I can't complete the task of digging up Walter Cronkite's dead body. It's that I always get interrupted with something that's important every time.
Well, you've got a kid.
Yeah. It's not just that, like,
priorities.
If I don't pull over right now, I'm going to run out of gas. And then it's like, oh, shit. Well, now I'm going to be late for whatever. And it's like, you put the shovel in the trunk and you tell yourself, tomorrow night.
Don't worry about being late. Walter's got time. That guy is chill.
It's not going anywhere. News. Speaking of Walter Cronkite.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe we talked about this on the last show. All the extra new crazy bullshitness with Hello Games and No Man's Sky, where somebody hacked their Twitter account.
Now, the last thing we talked about was like, oh, yeah, like eventually maybe it'll get better. But, yep. You know, this new stuff's great. Just good stuff. Double thumbs up, guys.
Like, it just can't get any worse for those guys. Somebody hacked their Twitter account and tweeted out, what was the exact quote? No Man's Sky was a mistake. And then, of course, you know, because everybody immediately believes that that's got to be the guy who owns the Twitter account doing that. Couldn't possibly be someone else. They all just flip the fuck out all over Reddit and all over all the message boards that go crazy about this game. I saw an interesting statistic. Somebody was on the Reddit. I was following up this story. And somebody on the Reddit, No Man's Sky the Game subreddit, said there are currently more active users here in this thread than there are playing No Man's Sky. And it was like 250 people in the thread.
Wow.
So there's more people talking about what sucks about the game than playing the game. It's like, it's become a game itself almost. So anyway, the tweet goes out. No Man's Sky was a mistake. I think it was Kotaku sent Hello Games an email saying, just want to check up on this tweet. What's going on? And then Kotaku received a fairly long email stating that, let's see. One of the things was somebody posing as Sean Murray, the head of Hello Games, said, this tweet is from me. But somebody from the team took it down. We have not been coping well. That was also a hacked message. Somebody apparently hacked into his email because he sent a big, long email to Kotaku that, like, detailed. Where is it? I can't find the link to it. But there's just this. Oh, here it is. Hold on. I got to jump links. I want to read this. The response was the tweet was not a hack, but it was a disgruntled employee at some point. This was somebody still who had hacked the account was still tweeting this shit out. So whoever hacked the account took the time out to not only tweet, but to respond to tweets and respond to emails on behalf of Hello Games. So like a major hack. And apparently Sean Murray. So the best part of this is the first time since going radio silent on Twitter, Sean Murray actually tweeted and said we were hacked. And that's what happened. And then hasn't tweeted since.
All right. That's encouraging.
It's so good. So yeah, just like more shit came out. There was another story this week. I didn't have it in the list here, but so I forget who it was that was interviewed at Sony, one of the top executives there. And he said that he's, you know, talked with the guys at Hello Games, and they are currently working on a patch to make the game more like what they wanted it to be. And he was pretty gracious in his statements. It was, you know, you have something in mind and sometimes it just doesn't come out the way you want it to be. And, you know, people weren't super satisfied with that. But he all but confirmed that they are, well, he did, according to him, they are actually just working on the game, trying to add things to it that they had initially planned. So
great. Great.
What, yeah. Whether or not that's good or is going to be something that people give a shit about, you know, we'll see. But
yeah, I mean, that's the real question is, can they get people back? And, yeah, you know, and Diablo, yeah, speak of the devil, you know, kind of did the same thing. It had a rough launch, and a lot of people responded poorly at that game. But
yep, the store. They eventually just deleted the store, and like a major thing that they had added to that game, they just said, "We heard you. It's gone. We got rid of it because you don't like it." So I don't know. I mean, they sold enough copies of this game where they've probably got some money where they can work on it for a while. So who knows? I don't know. It's going to take a long time before they sell any more copies of this game. That's the big problem for them. So,
yeah, but maybe that's the big scam, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let's release it so we get money to finish it.
Yeah.
People will stick around.
Yeah.
Suck it.
So it's a reverse Kickstarter is what it is.
Right. Let's release enough of the thing to get some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, in a story that has to be related, Valve says you now have to show your game accurate screenshots of gameplay from your game on the store page for your game on Steam.
Yeah. It's a pretty slick little interface too.
Yeah. So, I'll just read a little bit of this from Polygon. Valve is revisiting guidelines for developers who sell their games on its Steam marketplace. All games must use actual in-game screenshots once the Discovery Update 2.0 is live, which just came out like yesterday, 2 days ago. The company announced in a post to Steamworks users and later showed Polygon, we haven't been super crisp on guidelines for screenshots in the past, so we'd like to take the opportunity to clarify some rules in this space. When the screenshot section of a store page is used for images other than screenshots that depict a game, it can make it harder for customers to understand what the product is that they're looking at. So I don't know how they police that, other than having people at Valve. I suppose the community kind of polices it for them, I guess, is the answer to that question.
Right, like maybe users report, like,
yeah,
hey,
this
I don't
is not gameplay.
Right, yeah. But how do you know? I guess you maybe just ask the question, is this real?
Yeah.
It's weird. So, weird.
Yeah. I guess this is a good idea. I can't find a downside to that.
No, so, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all on board with the concept, but it, like you said, how do you police it?
Yeah.
Algorithms.
Right.
Algorithms?
Probably, yeah. Math.
Algorithms.
Yeah. Algorithms, yeah.
All right.
Not much of a rhythm.
Throw math at it until the problem's solved.
That's right. And also kind of a somewhat related story, I guess. Bethesda announced that they will no longer release review copies of any of their games. Like they said they will give it to review outlets 1 day before the official release date, which, you know, obviously is not enough time to play and review a game. Certainly not a Bethesda game. That's an interesting policy. Basically, what the result of that should be, in my opinion, is that people should not buy day one games and they should not pre-order games. They should wait until the game is out and review outlets have a chance to look at it, and then they should go buy it. But the reason Bethesda doesn't care about that is because people will just fucking buy it anyway, because they can't help themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you want to be part of that conversation, you know, like the day one conversation when a game like you know, Skyrim comes out or Fallout 4 comes out.
Yeah. And I mean, and their job, I know why they are doing this. It's because their job is to sell as many copies of this game as possible. And by delaying reviews, they can't achieve that. So if you're trying to make money, that's a good decision.
Yeah, and that doesn't change until consumer behavior changes. And
exactly.
You know. Yeah.
I don't believe that it ever would. I just don't think humans have that in them to not get hyped about something and then, I'll just hold off.
Right, yeah. I mean, the genius of it, as you said, is that Bethesda gets theirs regardless. You know, if the game is crap, if the game is great. You know, but I guess that the idea is that the market regulates that to an extent. Because you might get away with one shitty release.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Diminishing returns, for sure.
Right. But the third time around, people aren't going to grab the game day one. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't believe for a second that their intention is to release shittier games and intentionally fuck people.
Right.
I don't believe that. I think they're going to try to make good games. But in the event that one of them is not received very well, they have a spreadsheet somewhere that tells them if they do it this way, they will not lose as much money. So, I get it. I'm not a big fan, but I get it.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you know, movies as well are under no obligation to show a film to a reviewer or anything, you know. But it's always been that if you don't show the movie to a reviewer, it's probably terrible.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's probably for a reason.
Yep. And then...
Yeah, and there's just not that same stigma in video games, or not for a large part of the audience that would buy the game to begin with, you know.
It's interesting. It's a weird move.
I think that's part and parcel with people who get, you know, really argumentatively defensive about a game that they purchased day one that maybe isn't so great. You know, like people like to plant their flag in something. And I think you see that some with video games way more than you do with movies or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it's easier to, like, when somebody says, oh, I love Transformers. And you go, what? That movie's fucking terrible. And they're like, kind of right, I guess.
Right. But
it was video games and people lose their fucking mind.
Yeah. If you say, like, you know, I think Metal Gear Solid is a big piece of shit.
Yeah,
then
you're not wrong, and you'll
murder you.
Yeah,
probably rightfully so.
Fucking video games are so weird.
Yeah, it's strange. The audience around video games it always strikes me as strange. You know, I've sent you guys numerous complaints about, like, hey, we released the new list of PlayStation Plus games. And people being like, I'm going to cancel my subscription. It's like, this game costs you $2 if you do the math. Just calm down.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't trip over my soapbox, y'all.
It's a short little one. I'll just
step
right over it. We talked about the new Nintendo Switch in our last episode, but we did not know some details. The biggest one of which is that its screen size is 6.2 inches and has a 720p multi-touch screen, which a lot of people were wondering if it would have or not. Previously, the Wii U had a single touch screen. But interestingly enough, I believe the screen size, like inches wise, is the same as the Wii U. I don't remember where I heard that, but I thought I heard that somewhere. That's kind of a small screen, I guess. I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you have tablets or anything?
Yeah, I have a Wii U.
Yeah, but it's like smaller than like my son has a Samsung. What the hell is that thing called? It's like a Galaxy 3 or something like that, and that's got like an 8-inch screen on it, and that's decent size. But 6.2 sounds like it's, I don't know, not big enough, but I guess if you want it to be portable, that's like the weird trade-off that they're having to deal with here, is you don't want to haul around a fucking tablet with you, but you want it to be like a handheld. I don't know. That's a weird design problem. That must have been a tough one to decide on. But the multi-touch aspect of it, that sounds cool. Like they can do some great stuff with that because of that. So I'm actually kind of excited to maybe pick one of these up because my son is old enough now to where he would be into like a Legend of Zelda, and that game looks cool. So that's a good excuse to buy one of those for me. It's, yeah, my kid might like it.
Yeah. You're going to play it too?
You know. Totally. Yeah. That's the joke.
I feel the same way about the Switch that I do about the Wii U in a way, which is that like the Wii U I think is an underrated system. It's just a shame that it only plays Nintendo games really. Yeah. And I think that's the same problem with the Switch is It seems like a good idea. It's kind of cool. At the very least, it makes sense as a move for Nintendo in a way. But what games are there going to be? Like, what, you know, because we haven't announced a price point yet, have we?
No. I mean, and you'll get a Mario Brothers. They showed some Mario thing. You'll get a Zelda. Like, all the old greats will get, you'll have, like, a brand new Smash Brothers. You'll get a new Mario Kart. What was the one that came out? Mario Maker. That was a huge hit. There'll be a new version of that. You know, all that shit. And on a multi-touch screen, that Mario Maker game will be, they'll sell a fucking bazillion of those. I think the most exciting part of a Nintendo Switch to me is a higher fidelity Nintendo console. Like, the graphics and shit that they're showing on this thing look pretty goddamn good. So hopefully that's true. Because Nintendo games look really cool, and it would be neat if they, you know, were like high polygonal counts and super awesome graphics. And
yeah, it's a time, you know, Nintendo's sort of been graphically, I feel like, behind a lot of people in the past couple consoles they've put out.
Yeah, so for a long time.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool to see everything, you know, up in the, and you know, I think it's a good opportunity for them. It's a cool idea. They're always gonna do things that are unique, and I think it always sort of works out for them.
And they've got kind of that part of the market where they're the other console that people own. Yeah. So they still sell a lot of them because of that, because people don't get an Xbox and a PlayStation. Some people do. But it's much more likely that you're going to get an Xbox and a Nintendo, or a PlayStation and a Nintendo, than two of the other two leading systems, unless it's like an exclusive thing for you, I guess. But yeah, I'd say it looks cool. Like, if it's not super expensive, like if it's, you know, $300 or less, I'll totally pick one of those up. Once I see the games, of course.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if it launches, I got to be honest with you. There's part of me that is even excited about the idea of like Skyrim in a portable form that still has that kind of fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of cool. Like, I don't play games at work a bunch. But when I do, I play a handheld there. And
yeah, be a nice option to have. There's some days where I'd like to, you know, take an hour lunch break and just go grab a fucking burger or something and then just sit in the park on campus, and that'd be fun. Sit outside and play games for a while.
Yeah. And the idea of, you know, as they've advertised it, of say, you know, you're on your lunch break and you play Zelda, and then you go home and you just put the thing in its cradle, and there's your save, there's your game. Now it's just on a bigger screen.
Yep.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
Yep. I can certainly find opportunities to play games that aren't in front of a television. I will do that. Somebody was riding on, I believe it was in Montreal, they were riding on like a subway system, and the dude next to him had his laptop open with a PowerPoint going on, and in the top right corner of the PowerPoint was the title Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is not a name Ubisoft has, or not Ubisoft, Eidos has announced for a new Tomb Raider game. So people are speculating this is a leak. He had, the slide was a lot of technical jargon on the slide, but the dude posted this on Reddit. And this has happened before. This is interesting, I guess, because I like that series, but the thing that was most interesting to me was this exact same thing happened for Assassin's Creed Black Flag when somebody saw some dude working on a PowerPoint on an airplane and took a picture of it. So they've had two games leaked in the exact same way now.
Sounds like they're stressing their employees out, making them work on the airplane, working out in public. Come on.
Yeah.
These people are in the office, guys.
Yeah. I like that.
Lock that shit down. Working too hard.
What are they doing working on a bus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta have boundaries.
Oh, man.
I mean, you're preaching the choir, man. I
No, I'm with you, too. Yeah.
But I think that's funny.
Justin, you asked me to put this one in, and there was only one game in here that really struck a chord with me, but I'm curious of your thoughts on the THQ Nordic buys a Delta Force F-22 series games. Was there some favorites of yours in there?
One of the first games that I played heavily online was Delta Force Land Warrior.
Nice.
One of very, very, very great game. I would love to see them try and do that again, but keep the spirit of the older ones alive. I just remember, like, you'd get a sniper rifle and you would, like, go on the side of a mountain, and the levels were just humongous. And it was like one of those games, it just doesn't make sense that it worked, you know, when you think about it now. And you would just, I mean, people would just, like, sit on the side of a hill and try and snipe each other. And there's just these humongous maps. And the bullet physics was realistic, where you had to compensate for the bullet drop and stuff like that. So there was some challenge to it, too.
There's a GIF on the side. The story I sent you guys was on Eurogamer.net, and right at the top of the story, there's a GIF of what I'm assuming is Delta Force, of like a guy laying face down.
It had one of the first games where you could play, you know, sort of like these long form missions over a humongous map with, you know, a couple different people. I believe.
It's basically like an armor precursor.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it would be safe to say that a lot of the games, you know, that I like, that you guys make, you know, make joke about, wouldn't exist if, or at least owe some credit to Delta Force, because it definitely paved the way in this type of game.
Nice. Some of the other games they picked up were Comanche, Joint Operations, Armored Fist, Tachyon, The Fringe, F-22, and F-16. And they announced, THQ Nordic is, one of the companies that bought up THQ when it got busted up into pieces and sold yard sale style. But they got the name, and they changed their name. I forget who they were previously. I don't know if it was just Nordic or what their company was, but they added the THQ moniker to it, which I thought was kind of a cool move. But the game on that list that caught my attention was Comanche. I have a weakness for helicopter simulators in the same way that I have a weakness for digging holes in Minecraft. I love flying helicopters in games. That is one of my favorite things to do. Battlefield 3, or what was the Bad Company? Battlefield Bad Company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All I ever did in multiplayer in that game was run to where the helicopters were going to be and wait for one to spawn. Love flying helicopters. So
yeah,
Comanche was good.
You have a GTA helicopter fetish as well.
I do. Yeah, I just like flying helicopters. It's just a cool...
It's fun.
Yeah.
They're great.
Good way to get around.
I mean, DayZ. DayZ, I had a problem with helicopters in that too. I could not fucking wait to get a helicopter in that game. It was so good. That's one of the strongest pieces that's missing from DayZ, I think, is helicopters.
It's coming.
Yeah. That's what they keep saying.
I know.
Trademark. DayZ, it's coming.
There is a new there's a new update on the experimental branch for that. They're showing off the new lighting, so it looks like with that new renderer, you know, previously if you had like a flashlight inside, it was all messed up where someone could see the light
outside,
on the outside. So it looks like that's you know going to be resolved. The nighttime seems like it's a lot scarier now.
Yeah.
They put I've already seen some crazy stuff where people are like walking around at night with a flare, and then all of a sudden they get attacked by these wolves. So they're making strides now. You know, the environment's a little less safe. You need to gear up a little bit more and think about what you're gonna do if you're actually gonna survive. So I think they're getting there. It's you know one of those things where it's gonna be fun when it's done.
Yeah. I'd like it to work. That game's really good when it's good.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite games of the year, Inside. won the top prize at the Unity Awards, which is the programming video game construction system, I guess you could call it. I don't even know what you call it. It's like a... I don't even know what you would call it.
Unity is a game engine.
Game engine. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. So the award show that they run, some of the winners were The Lab for Best VR Experience, Job Simulator, Best VR Game, Tilt Brush, Best Non-Game Project, Firewatch won for Best 3D Visuals, but Inside took away the Golden Cube for the Best Overall Game of 2016. I like any time attention gets brought to that game because I fucking loved Inside. So that was cool.
Yeah, I need to finish that game. I feel
you have to, like, as far as a like game of the year conversation. It needs to be a part of it.
It's all right, so good. Yeah, as soon as you said that, I was like, shit, I need to finish that.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, I don't mean it's a burden. It's just like I need to sit down and do that.
Got to find some time for it.
Yep.
Somebody leaked some, I've noticed a couple other stories, but this is the only one I grabbed, but somebody leaked some Black Friday ads. If you go out, not the general point of me having the story in here is if you search around, you can find some Black Friday shit that has already come out. But this one specifically was on video games 24/7, Sam's Club, their doorbusters. They're selling 500 gigabyte PlayStation 4s. For $249, which is a pretty good deal. Comes with a game. There's a Call of Duty Black Ops 3 bundle. There's a Uncharted 4 Thief's End bundle. Xbox One S, the slim model, is selling for the same price, $249. The bundle they've got is a... this is actually a pretty good deal. It's the Battlefield 1 with an extra controller for $249. Minecraft bundle. But then also Dell is running a bundle on Battlefield 1 consoles. I believe it's one day or, oh no, two games, Battlefield 1 and Gears of War 4 for still $250, and their sale starts a day earlier than the Sam's Club sale. So there are deals to be had in the season of buying shit.
Yeah. Plus Sony's got to unload all those PS4s now that the Pro's out.
Now that Pro's coming out. Yeah. I've started noticing a lot more games talking about what they are offering on the PS4, like what differentiates it if you buy that version of it. And it's all, you know, higher fidelity graphics and more frames per second. And it's like, yep, we will give you an upgraded version of this game if you have a Pro. So I'm not getting one, but you know, if you're in the market for a PlayStation, wait, pick up a Pro when it comes out. Speaking of Star Wars Battlefront, EA has indicated that there is a new sequel that will be out next fall, so approximately 1 year from now. I guess that seems about right. It's not like a total yearly franchise. There are 2 years in between releases, so
I think it's going to be more like this is what the original release probably should have been. Type of deal.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious though about it, because you can always make a video game look better, but this one already looks really, really good, so there's not going to be like a huge fidelity upgrade, I don't think. I'm wondering if they're gonna switch around some of the mechanics that people complained about, but also the problem there is, do you alienate people who actually like how it works, who didn't have a lot of experience with the old way that Battlefront series was? And if you change it, does that fuck those people? So I'm kind of curious what Battlefront 2 is going to be, just from a design standpoint, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the one that's out right now, you can get the Death Star, you can get Cloud City, you can fight on fucking Endor, you can fight on Hoth. Like, it's got all the stuff. Maybe they add a single player campaign. Maybe they add...
I think you got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be the, that's really the only upgrade I can think of. So,
I mean, there's plenty of ways to clean up that multiplayer.
No, yeah.
There's lots of, I think there's a lot of content you can add, and there's a lot of ways to clean up the multiplayer for sure.
Right. I mean, the engine's there. I mean, the game doesn't feel like wildly out of balance or anything like that. It's just stop getting in the way of the fun, y'all.
Well, and, yeah, I mean, there's things in that game I would love to see go away, like the, when you're doing that walker assault mode, that you can only damage the Snowwalker when it has been bombed by something. Like, I should always be able to damage the fucking Snowwalker. Makes no sense. So,
and there should be helicopters.
Yeah. Give me some helicopters. Why are there no helicopters in the Star Wars universe? Do things ever hover in Star Wars?
I think everything kind of does.
Well, I mean, like land, I guess you can just pull a Harrier jet style stop in pretty much anything, I guess. So.
And maybe the X-Wings. Those seem to kind of have rear thrust, and it's more just, boom, we're going. But I don't know. See TIE fighters just lifting straight up, like, what are they called, VTOLs?
Yeah, there you go. Vertical takeoff and landing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so more of that. Bring it on. Arma Dev, Bohemia, what's their other full thing? Bohemia Software, is that what it is?
Bohemia Interactive.
Interactive has revealed an early access platform that they are building. And they have two little, what is it called? Bohemia Incubator.
Yeah.
And they have two little games that they're putting out on it. One of them is a total, they're billing it as a total conversion of Arma 3, which is a 5v5 competitive multiplayer game based on teamwork and tactics. It is free right now as an open prototype. And they're also making kind of a Minecraft clone thing.
Yeah, that one seemed weird. I don't know if that one seemed quite as interesting as...
Yeah.
As... I mean, the other one's cool, I guess. It's, you know, it's just Arma really dumbed down. It from people's initial reports, it runs a lot better, a lot more smooth because, you know, it's a chopped down version of the map. It's the, you know, it maybe they're going for some kind of competitive, you know, aspect and pushing that. That it's certainly in their best interest to maybe it like that. And it's for me to think of them doing a game that's not like a military kind of game or something that's more simulation like this Minecraft thing.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this whole system is, let me find the quotes here. A key difference is that incubator games can be much more basic, experimental, and rough. Oh, a key so they're comparing it to Steam's early access.
Yeah.
Bohemia Interactive might even decide to cancel or stop supporting an incubator game. To reflect this, people will often be able to play the games for free while they are a part of the Bohemia Incubator. Where's the quote? The primary goal is not to generate income, a post on the Project Argo website added, but rather to allow for a greater level of creative freedom to try new things and gather feedback on what works and what doesn't. So it's basically just a demoing system for their game to see if people like it, and then if they do, they will start to support it more.
Why not?
It seems like a cool way to do it. It's just like, anybody into this idea? Should we flesh this out more?
Yeah, or you know, maybe we through doing this, we overcame some sort of technological hurdle that we can now incorporate back into some other game that we're
developing. Apply it to something else. Yeah, that's a cool idea. So, they're a weird company. It's hard to kind of wrap your brain around Bohemia.
Yeah.
They do some, they operate differently than everybody else. It's strange.
Who's the Witcher 3?
Project Red?
Yeah, same kind of vibe of like, we're just going to do our own thing. And so far it's working for us.
Yeah. An indie vibe on a pretty big sized place, I guess, is how that feels to me.
Yeah.
Talked about Grand Theft Auto a little bit earlier. Grand Theft Auto 5 has now shipped 70 million copies. And I just did a quick calculation, which this is not true, but if that game had sold at full price for each one of those copies, which was $59.99, that would be $4,199,300,000.
Ooh.
So you can probably assume pretty safely that they've made $3 billion on that game, at least.
Wow.
I would assume. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is wild.
That's all. that's an amazing number to me. I put an article in here. I don't know if you guys had time to read this one, the one about RimWorld.
Yeah.
And so somebody at Rock Paper Shotgun wrote a story where they did kind of a deep dive into the code of RimWorld. And this is a game we've talked about in previous episodes. It's just like a world simulator, I guess, is the easiest way to describe it. But it's, you know, apocalyptic in nature somewhat for anybody who hasn't played it. But what the story went into was the fact that... let's see. Somebody put a story on Reddit at one point about this game on their subreddit for RimWorld saying the title of their post was Strategies to Deal with Attractive Lesbians. And what the question behind that was getting at was the way that the code works in the game is that even though female characters in the game are lesbians, the men characters in the games will still relentlessly pursue them romantically, even though they know they're lesbians. But the reverse is not true if the male character is homosexual. Women will not attempt to engage in a romantic relationship in the game with a homosexual male. And so the rub of this article was kind of calling the programmer out for this and giving him some shade.
Yeah, it was definitely mean-spirited.
It kind of, in a way, it was, it, you know, I get the point of the article.
Right, but, sure. So
where it becomes a problem for me was this is a topic that the developer had previously addressed on the game forum and this Reddit forum, which is basically where people go to talk about RimWorld and talk to the developer. And it was the story that about the how to deal with attractive lesbians, that post. The developer himself was in there commenting with people going, yeah, it works this way because originally I thought this. And he had said some things where he based those decisions when he originally programmed it on personal observations that he had made in the world. He said, I know lots of guys who, even if they know a woman is a lesbian, they still find her physically attractive and therefore continue to pursue her. He says his rationale was, I've seen that before in the real world. And then he also stated, I just don't know a lot of women that do the same thing when they know a guy is homosexual. So he kind of programmed it based on his personal experience. But then when these posts started coming up, he actually started doing some research about it. And in a response to this article on Rock Paper Shotgun, he wrote a pretty scathing, you know, go fuck yourself kind of a message to the person who wrote this, because he said, they asked me if I wanted to be a part of this article, and I said no, because I know how you're going to spin it. And so if I'm going to be a part of this article, I want to have editorial control over my answers. I want to make sure that you print my entire answers. And Rock Paper Shotgun wouldn't let him do that. So he wrote in the comments section, and to their credit, they have like highlighted his comment replying to this and put it at the top of the comment section so that you can read his response to this article, in which he refers to it as a hit piece. He really goes off. It's kind of brutal. But his point is that I have already made changes to this system based on input from people from these forums, and you didn't bother to put that in your story. Which I have to kind of agree with that. Like, you're writing a story being critical about this guy, about something that he has already started to take steps to fix, but you didn't include that part of the story in your story.
Yeah, and part of that article that I thought was interesting is that she says, oh, he declined to comment, which was actually not the case.
Not actually true.
Yeah.
He said, I would love to be a part of this, but you got to fucking promise me that you're, and he was right. I know where this is going. Like, he recognizes that it's a controversial thing, but that's the really cool thing about RimWorld to me is that you're actually talking about these kinds of things being simulated in a video game. That's amazing that it's this type of system actually can be put together and work somewhat in a game. And can be tweaked. It's like, all right, if he goes, and it sounds like he went out and like find some scientific studies that actually, you know, speak to, you know, romantic relationships and people pursuing each other, and what are the numbers as far as, you know, genders versus number of homosexuals in that gender, number of lesbians for females, all that kind of stuff. So he actually like made an effort to kind of figure it out. Like, okay, I'm making a simulator game. What is the most accurate way to simulate this? Like, the guy is putting some effort in. That's my takeaway from this. Like, it's unfortunate that they got into this big beef over it. It could have been handled a lot better. But what's most amazing to me is the programming of it all. I think that's just amazing. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
really cool. And then, you know, it really seems like what's his name? Tynan?
Sylvester Tynan, I think is his name. I believe there's another developer that works on it with him, but he is Tynan Sylvester.
Yeah, so he seems like he is, you know, as you said, really responsive and it. I don't know. It's hard to fault him for trying to make something kind of scientifically accurate, even if that doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
you know.
I feel like his heart was in the right place, and you know, maybe, and I don't know the guy personally. Maybe he's a fucking huge sexist douchebag, but from his responses here, it sounds like he was at least being thoughtful about it in his own way. I guess I can't. It's not like he just threw it in there and said, "Ah, fuck it," you know.
Yeah,
chicks just don't like guys. It wasn't like just some negative thing. I guess I don't get that vibe from it. There was some thought put into it. He based it on personal experience. Is that the most accurate way to depict what actually happens? Probably not. But is anybody really studying the answer to that question to its fullest extent? Maybe we should figure it out. Then it can be a part of RimWorld. So I don't know. That's cool that it leads to questions being asked. Well, what is actually the nature of this thing? Like, I like the debate of it, I guess. I just think it could have been handled a little more tactfully.
Sure. But it is fascinating because there are those kinds of mechanics happening in the game among a million other weird ones.
Yeah.
So it's,
that game's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not even done.
Speaking of end of year discussions.
Yeah.
I'm
with you. I don't give a shit that that game's technically early release. I don't care.
Yeah, that game is too good not to.
It's done enough.
Yeah, I don't know what more you add to that game, quite frankly. I mean, you can always add system upon system upon system and so forth, but man, that game's satisfying already.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you're not trying to run a colony with a bunch of hottie lesbians running around. That just causes problems, apparently.
Well, I mean, you're just not going to repopulate. That's your problem. Really fascinating, and as you said, the it's really fun that there is a game that is using relationships as kind of a clockwork thing.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
And in that game, it's beneficial to have that system because you can have little baby colonists. So I think, are there children in that game? Is that not in there?
Oh, yet? I've never gotten that far. My colonists die horribly.
I know. That's that's like fucking end game shit right there.
That game.
The final boss is just Lamaze class.
Everybody just goes back to their quarters and blows their brains up.
Right. Terry doesn't like blood, so he can't deliver a baby. That's a RimWorld shit.
I guess you're doing this in the hallway.
Right.
Yeah, next to that dead body that you were just eating.
God, and you know.
Oh, we're being raided.
Oh, yeah. That baby's about to get it.
Fucking RimWorld. And another thing with doing a little research on this, on the developer, this problem led to him having conversation. He posted part of an email he had with a user of the game in his comment on this Rock Paper Shotgun article, where he's having a conversation with someone who says, "Well, I'm bi, and I don't think that's actually represented in your game. There are times when I have been with men, and there's times when I've been with women." And that led him to, the system obviously needs more possibilities in it. Like, it's not working right because that option does not work in the game. So it's pretty cool. Simulators.
Yeah, and that's one of the best.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets crazy. Are we at the last story? No. Is that right? Oh, hold on.
According to the list I've got.
I had added a couple of extra ones in there. This is a quick one. Firewatch's free roam mode is officially out. That was a great game as well.
Yep.
That is on PC and consoles, that new free roam mode. They also announced that's one of the games that's being up-resed for PlayStation Pro. Did I have another little... that story about Blizzard. The Blizzard in The Division, the new... Did you guys see the video of the new Division expansion pack?
No.
Oh, yeah. So, it's like, survival mode.
Survival mode, yeah. So the premise of that is... you are in a multiplayer game with up to 24 players. You are in a helicopter that is flying into the city to go retrieve something, and the helicopter crashes, and maybe multiple helicopters. I don't know how it works, but all of the 24 players are distributed all over the outskirts of the map, and you all have a common goal of fighting your way to the center of the map, I believe in the dark zone, to retrieve something and extract it from the map. When you land after the helicopter crash, you spawn with only green, like low-level items. There is a blizzard that is constantly building throughout the game. I think a round can take up to 2 hours at a maximum. But the entire time that that's going on, the blizzard is getting worse. Your character is getting colder, so you have to get coats. You have to drink, eat. You can stand next to like a barrel that's on fire on the street to actually warm your body back up. There's a video, I don't know if it was on the article that I sent you guys originally, but I saw it today where like they're showing some of the weather effects. And it looks fucking awesome. Like the visibility is super low. That game already looked great, but this mode seems to really take advantage of some of the, how cool the weather is in that game. It looks like a really interesting survival mode. What I'm curious about is if we could all get in that game together and bunch up. And so of those 24 players, we've already kind of got an agreement that we're fighting together as a team, and what kind of dynamics can develop because of that. I think
surely that's a part of it.
It has to be.
And who knows? You might have to end up betraying each other at the end, but I mean, who knows?
Yeah. So that sounds super cool. I have no idea what it will cost. I have no idea specifically when it's out. That was actually something that was delayed. It was supposed to be out this summer, but because of all of the issues they were having with the game in general, which I believe led to the patch that we were just raving about, they delayed this expansion pack. And then there is another expansion, I forget what that is called, but that is scheduled to come out next spring sometime, first quarter 2017, I think they said. If you bought the season pass for The Division, I believe it's still running, but you can play, you can get on the survival test servers for free, and try it out. I do not have the season pass, so I cannot do that.
It seems like an interesting idea, but depending on the price, like if it's $5, sure, let's do this. But
I'm thinking it'd probably be $15. Wasn't that what the Underground DLC was, Justin?
$10 or $15. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which has been totally worth it for me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm into that game. It's weird. Just when you thought it had died, comes back. Final story. Some dude in Star Citizen bought and sold enough in-game spaceships to buy himself a new, like a Toyota Corolla for like $5,000 when his car crapped out on him. And it was all because of, and I wasn't aware that you could do this in the game. And we have this as well, Justin, don't we? The lifetime insurance, because we bought in early.
Just on a singular craft.
On the one ship that we had bought. Yeah.
I believe I have lifetime insurance on the Freelancer because I bought that when it was brand new as well. So that's.
Yeah. So I don't think that this still exists in the game, that you can exploit this, but what he was doing, because he was an original backer of the game, every time that he went into the store, he had the option to buy ships. So they would put a new ship up for sale. And there would be a version of it based on whether or not you were a early backer of the game that had lifetime insurance on it, which meant when that ship was destroyed in the game, you didn't have to pay to replace it. And so a market popped into existence where people who had the lifetime insurance early backer option would buy those ships and then trade them on the side outside of the game to people. They would just give them the code for it or whatever. And then that person could have the lifetime insurance version of the ship, and they were paying double. Like, he bought a ship for $80 and he sold it for $167 to some guy, and he just kept doing this over and over instead of just buying more and more ships. There's also a whole community that popped up around this. I forget what the subreddit was called, but there was a Reddit page that was just like Star Citizen Trades or something like that. But this guy made enough cash doing this to put $5,000 down on a new car. So he sold fake in-game spaceships so that he could buy real-world transportation. I think that's cool as shit.
We live in an age of miracles, truly.
It's so crazy.
Indeed, we do.
And you can't even really do anything with those fucking ships yet in that game. That's the part that's nuts. Like, the game's not out.
But then again, you're paying for the fake thing first before you sell the fake thing, so
yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
Circle of life, man.
It's got a real Eve Online vibe to it that I'm really digging. Like, I hope they keep Star Citizen open in the same ways that Eve Online is open, to allow for unexpected shit to happen.
So yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That is the news.
All right.
What did Walter Cronkite used to say at the end of the news?
Deuces, y'all.
Blunts.
Blunts.
pretty sure that's right. Historically accurate. Thank you, John. Before we bid everyone a fond adieu, we're going to go around the table one last time and ask our ultimate question of the evening. What are you going to be playing soon, Justin McFerrin?
Looking forward to that squad free weekend. Hopefully you guys will want to join in on that one night. It's actually already started. So
I saw that game's on sale for $20 on Steam.
And it's the cheapest it's ever been on sale. It's right, probably so the
sell cool. It to me. Sell it to me in like the one sentence sales pitch.
They just added technicals on the insurgent side, and one of them just has a rocket pod on the back. You just point and just fire off into the distance like these like rockets. And you basically, if you're working together to some degree, you're like, oh, these guys are held out in this compound. Oh, we'll just like mortar strike the entire compound. It's pretty wicked, but it's basically a Battlefield type of
game. Yeah, saw a video, or was an animated GIF of bullet penetration in that game, where a bunch of guys were hiding in what looked like a somewhat secure structure, and there was a bunch of guys in a pillbox that just sliced and diced them through the walls, through two walls for one of the guys in that building, and just cut them down. That looked really cool.
Yeah, the newest patch is performance. They basically decided to just try and do a patch where they're focusing on bugs and performance, just performance bugs. So it runs a lot better than it's ever ran so far. And they've put out a bunch of hot fixes this week to prepare for this weekend. So they're really active. If you hop in and play in a game, it's more than likely that, you know, at some point, if you're hopping around on servers, you're probably going to play with one of the developers this weekend. They're definitely all very active. But yeah, I hope we can get into it, because I haven't played it in a long time, and I hopped into there's a training range you can hop into, and maybe hopping in there and just seeing if you like the...
Yeah, $20 is the right price.
I think John would have been had with, they have helicopters. I think that's your one.
Yeah, well, your one. They will. Eventually helicopters, for sure.
Yeah.
Johnny Dillon, how about yourself?
I'm still not done with The Division. I have not completed either of the hits in the Hitman Hokkaido mission. I have walked around that map a lot trying to figure some shit out, but I want to get back to that. I'll play some more Steep with you guys. That sounds like a good time. And Squad at $20 might be something that happens this weekend. So I'll let you know if I pull that trigger, Justin.
It's this weekend.
It's free this weekend?
Yeah. They're both free. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So it's worth just going ahead and get that download.
Give it
going.
A shot. All right. Yeah. I make that happen right now.
Yeah. I think I'm going to touch both of those as well. Probably some more Division. I actually have some time off coming up.
Nice.
So I do plan on playing a fair amount of the Division and try to get myself leveled up to the point where everyone
get in there
keeps
and matchmake. Yeah. Just get in there and matchmake. It's fun. It's fun.
You know, and everyone's like, oh, once you hit 30, it's going to be cool. So, and I'm, I guess, reasonably close at this point. So,
well, it's a much more enjoyable experience to get to 30 now because the loot system works the way that it does. So it's a better game all around.
So, yeah, some more of that. Probably a dash of Persona 4. Been enjoying that. And, yeah, I think that's it. I'm really curious to see what comes down the pipe. Oh, I'll tell you. Forget everything I just said. That was all stupid. EVE Online goes free to play
next week.
The day I go on vacation.
That's fantastic. Let me know. I've already Those got gone. It installed. I'm ready to go.
I mean, I have no idea what I'm doing, but you could probably persuade me to do that too.
That game's pretty easy. It's not difficult to play. It's easy to play, difficult to master kind of a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right. But I'm curious to see what the limitations are. Like having played as a subscription player, like, do I feel like I'm bouncing against a ceiling, with a free to play? That's kind of what I want to answer for myself.
Yeah. I mean, I put a lot of time into that game as, you know, paying for it. But I still feel like I was never really getting any sort of full potential out of it. So if they can just give me even a similar experience to that, I'll probably be totally happy with it as a free to play. So,
yeah. And that's a game I can absolutely see myself playing when I'm kicked back one night, you know, watching some terrible horror movie. And it's like, you know what? I could be spending my time better. How about I play some Eve?
You can totally do EVE Online and other things. It's a great game for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I kind of liked about it. So, all right. So all that being said, we will be back in 2 weeks' time to talk about video games some more. And there was some big titles yet to come. What is it? Last Guardian? Shadow of the Guardian?
Yeah. Yep. I'm actually getting kind of hyped for that.
I just want to see what that thing is at this point.
Yep. Give it a shot.
Yeah, my expectations are real measured for that, but I'm still excited to see it. And, you know, rumor being that Titanfall 2 is going to hit $35 on Black Friday.
I actually saw it on sale for $35 somewhere. I forget where it was though. Target was selling it for $35.
That's going to be one of those things where the emails start flying. Like, hey, we can get this on the cheap. Are you guys down? So,
yeah.
So that's all coming up. And if you would like to see and hear more from these guys, go to sdfgaming.com. From there, you can find links to the Facebook group and Facebook page and Twitter and Twitch. And what am I leaving out, John? Emails? Video streams.
You can send us an email. There's some reviews there. There's some videos. We haven't put a video up in a while, but we did some RimWorld. There's some Hitman shit out there. Check that out.
Excellent. And so you can check everything out there. And as I said, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with more of the Shotcast. If you would.
When you're rolling your blunts.
I know. When you're rolling your blunts, ladies and gentlemen.
With a razor blade.
I'd like you to drop by iTunes, if you would. is the thing I meant to include earlier. And leave us a rating and a review. It does help the profile of the show. Of course, nothing helps more than you, dear listener, letting a friend know who may be interested in video games that, hey, we talk about that stuff too. So, in the meantime, have a wonderful 2 weeks, and we will see you then. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.